This is the Be Memorable podcast. My name's Ty Erickson. I'll be your host. We'll be talking to the best of the best on how to be different, be unique, stand out from the crowd, and overall be memorable. In this episode, I have friend and branding expert Jed Morley on to talk everything to do with branding, A to Z, whether you're a small, mid, or large-sized business. Jed shares a ton of value with us. Let's go ahead and get him on. Jed, welcome to the podcast. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, Ty. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah. Well, if you're all right with it, let's jump straight into it. And I think as we go through this, we'll learn a little bit more about you. I'll make sure that we get your information across to everybody as well, so they can go back and dive, more into who you are and what you do. And that way we can give people a little bit more meat and potatoes on the podcast. If we can start with just going over, obviously I've already introduced that you're the branding guy. But tell me, we've got a lot of listeners that are either small to mid-sized business that are maybe achieving some success that haven't even got into branding yet, or they haven't even gone down that road. Do you mind just taking a few minutes and explaining from your view, what is exactly developing a brand, or what is branding your company?
Branding is the process of making and keeping a meaningful promise in an emotionally satisfying way.
Oh, I like that. I like that. What's included in that? Like, what does that mean as far as, satisfying somebody? What's included in that? I think a lot of people are thinking like, oh, my logo, maybe some wording. A lot of people are hearing about story brand. Like, when you look at a brand, what does that all encompass?
The key to creating a brand is to make the name of your product or service, or even yourself, take the place of a common word or words in the mind of your customer.
Yeah, I like that too. It was funny this morning. I saw what I got thinking of. I always think of Kleenex when I think of that, because the name is tissue, but I always call it, or people call it, a Kleenex. And then similar thing, like this morning we needed another spray can in the bathroom, funny out of all things. But, we kind of come to think, or at least I do, when you think of cleaning the air, of Febreze, like, hey, I need a Febreze can. And that's kind of what you're referring to, right?
That's right. So when I think I need a plumber, or I need an electrician, or I need a landscaper, if there isn't a capitalized name that comes to mind, then that's an opening for somebody to become synonymous with that idea in my mind.
Yeah. Do you have any good examples of that? Like somebody off the top of your mind, other than like a Kleenex, or I'm just trying to think of you to kind of pin that point home to maybe, I'm sure people understand that for the most part, but what are maybe some other examples that you think of when you think of that brand that's synonymous with that category?
When I think of streaming music, initially I thought Pandora.
Oh, yeah.
But Spotify did a better job of suggesting songs I might like.
Yep.
And they made it easy for me to follow friends and family so you could share music socially.
Yeah.
So now when I think of streaming music, Spotify owns that space in my mind.
Yep. And funny enough, they're actually entering in. They're trying to become that same replacement when it comes to podcasting. So that'll be interesting to kind of see them, if they can get into that realm as well.
Exactly. Now, an area that a lot of small companies struggle to see is what they want to be when they grow up.
Yep.
So even national brands like Jiffy Lube, they're trying to expand their footprint, just like you talked about with Spotify. Spotify is going to have an easier time of extending their brand to include an adjacent space, like with podcasts.
Yes.
Because it's still audio content. But with a name like Jiffy Lube, it suggests oil changes. So they did such a good job of becoming synonymous with oil changes that now, even though their sign on their buildings says multi-care, my mind still struggles to make that adjustment.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I never even thought of it that way.
So in naming a company or a product, it's important to anticipate growth opportunities. We have to be open to growth, but still focused enough to be specific and relevant to a specific bucket or category in the mind of the customer. So I think of that as like an aperture on a camera. If it's too big and open, it's overexposed. If it's too narrow, then it's underdeveloped. So we've got to let in the right amount of light to position our brand for success, both being open to growth opportunities, but narrowly focused on an area of expertise where we can really stand out.
Now, to go off a little bit on a branch like that, on this, do most people realize that? Or would you say when you talk to companies, do most companies realize that they need to do that? Or do they normally need some help from that spectrum? Like just generally speaking, when you go and speak to a company.
The biggest asset to a company getting the right aperture set for their brand strategy is to be purpose-driven or purpose-minded.
Okay.
What I mean by that is if you abstract what you do by 1 or 2 degrees, you can zoom out on what you're doing today and how you're doing it to better understand the underlying why. So I do believe that, like Simon Sinek has taught us, it's important to start with why, but the reason for starting with why might be a little different in the way I practice it.
Gotcha.
The reason why it's important to articulate your purpose is to realize what business you are in so that you can think of other services and areas where you could add value later on without having to change course. It should feel like a continuation, a progression, a build, without having to do a pivot. Now, sometimes companies have to pivot. I get that. But I'm talking about the ideal progression. Wouldn't it be great if we could anticipate growth steps and stages that we want to take in the future? And because we've anticipated them, name our company and products and services in such a way that it feels like a continuation of an existing narrative. That's what Will Smith did with his career. He started out as a rapper. Then he became a TV star. Then he became a movie star. It feels like there are these stepping stones that make sense. There's a logical through line that seems intuitive.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. So it does make more sense to jump on and get your brand story in line so that you can start to outline that, correct? Of knowing what direction you're headed. And then when you do need to pivot, you can also kind of see a bigger scope.
Bigger scope
of maybe, yeah, a direction to go.
That's right. And when you have your brand platform in place, which consists of your brand purpose, position, promise, pillars, and personality, when you get that foundation set, you're clear about who you are so that you know what should be allowed in because it's on brand and what should be set aside, what you should filter out because you're clear about who you are and what you're intent on becoming. So that brand platform piece is critical. Even if just like a home, let's imagine a home where you're going to do an addition or an upper story. Well, if you anticipate that growth from the beginning, you can build structural support for those extensions, or at least make the home extendable without a lot of rework.
Right.
That's the idea.
Gotcha. Okay. Why should a business have, and I know we've already kind of covered some basics, and to a lot of people it may seem common sense, but I think there's a lot of businesses, business owners that are maybe even asking themselves like, do I really need a brand? Like I'm doing okay. And I just need to go out and sell more and market more and, you know, just go out and try to grow more. Why should a business stop and say, wow, I really need to have a brand story? I know we talked about, you know, being able to add on and do, but is there anything else there that a business owner should be considering of like, man, I need to stop what I'm doing and get my brand story straight right now?
I have a handyman that is a good example as a case in point.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Josh, and handy guys are interchangeable for the most part, but
yeah,
he took the time to think about naming his business. He has a logo. It's well designed, and his personality comes through the logo. So the name of his business is Boxer Repair Services.
Okay.
So if I were referring someone to Josh, I could either refer him by name or I could refer mm-hmm. his business. If I refer his business and brand, that gives him a chance to not be the only guy working in the business, because now it's not dependent on him to deliver the value.
Yep.
So by having another name that can become associated with his service as a brand name, he can scale. So that scalability is a big question for a lot of solopreneurs or small companies. If you want your business to grow beyond you and your personal capacity, then you do need a brand name. You do need a logo. You do need a brand story, because you're not going to be the one telling it every time. So by codifying the story and articulating the value to different audiences, you're enabling someone else to sell the business and grow it besides what you personally are able to do.
Yeah, that's true. Because a big thing right now is a lot of people are talking about, you know, an exit strategy if it's a business they're trying to build. And yeah, you've got to be able to have that strategy to scale and also have it be duplicatable. And then also, like you said, have it be transferable. So that makes a lot of sense. Would you say there's anything additional? And again, I know we're already touching on a few of these things, but what would you say? I know a lot of people, as they're trying to grow their business right now, is saying, well, I've got to worry about my bottom line. Let's just say they're a small, mid, or even trying to take that transition from a mid to a large business. What should they be thinking about how this affects their bottom line?
Growing your bottom line depends on the experience you deliver in support of your brand promise. Operationalizing your brand promise cannot be overemphasized. It's very important to be able to live up to your promise day in and day out. This is an aspect of branding that a lot of people forget.
Right.
And I love the way you framed the conversation, Ty, by saying that a brand is more than a logo. I could not agree more. So it's a logo, it's a name, it's a look and feel, it's a website, but then ultimately it's the way we make people feel in the fulfillment of our services or in the delivery of our products. All of those touch points communicate something about the value we place on the relationship with our customer. So we need to consider all of the different touch points and those moments of truth that communicate the value we place on the relationship. Mm-hmm. And being intentional about what we want the perception to be helps us design experiences that are consistent with our desired brand perception. And ultimately, that's what a brand is how are we perceived? How is our business? How are our products and services perceived in the minds of customers? They ultimately get to decide what the brand stands for.
Sure.
We can shape it, but their perception is the final evaluation of what the brand means.
Gotcha. That makes sense. What about during these times? Like, you know, everybody, and who knows, somebody may listen to this podcast a year from now and forget about what we're going through right now. But why, when you're talking to business owners right now, and let's say there's some, you know, it's kind of feast or famine right now, and there's probably some people that are, you know, middle ground. But why is having a brand story very relevant during these times? You know, there's actually a lot going on, and I won't jump into the different categories. But in a challenging time, or in a business, in a down, I wouldn't even say a down economy. I got to be careful of what I say, but during a challenging time, why is a brand story so important?
For companies that are experiencing high growth in a time like this, when there's a shuffling of the deck,
mm-hmm.
they could easily become frantic and lose sight of what matters most to them and be susceptible to taking on projects or relationships that are not a good fit.
Yeah.
So by being clear about your brand, who you are, what you do, and why it matters, you're able to make better decisions that will serve your business for the long term, instead of just taking any business as though it's a foregone conclusion that you have to. So I think we have to be careful not to mistake being busy for being effective if we're able to have some kind of uptick during a time like this. And at the same time, if you're slow, I think this is a great time to reflect and to step back from the day-to-day and recalibrate based on what was working when things were better, changing, retooling if need be. And again, the purpose-driven approach we talked about earlier serves us well by reminding us that why we're in business, the contribution we want to make beyond making money still serves us well. We might need to change the how and what we do to fulfill the purpose. So there again, having that brand foundation can inform changes we might need to make to be relevant to a changing market landscape.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've really learned that I've learned from you over time is that most people think of brand, like you said, it's the logo, it's the wording, it's my website, it's the flyers, it's the things that I'm handing out. But one big thing that of what you just said that clicked with me and that I've also learned from you is that brand is not just an external thing. It's also, it may even more importantly be an internal thing within your company. And especially in a struggling time right now, there's nothing more important than getting that story straight, even for your team or you personally saying, okay, let me read my story again. And like you're saying, a purpose and a passion and refigure out where I'm headed. If I'm not having the growth, that may be part of the issue. People are still spending money right now. And even in a challenging time, money's still being spent. But like you said, are they doing their job internally to perform? And then externally, what's that vision? And I think that's so important, especially right now, is that that brand story is as impactful internally as it is externally.
That's right. Your internal brand is what powers your ability to keep your promise to the external market. And that translates into culture. Culture is another way of saying how we do things around here.
Yeah.
It boils down to behaviors, beliefs and behaviors that allow us to fulfill our purpose. When I work with clients who have a clear sense of who they are, oftentimes that understanding doesn't extend beyond the core founding team.
Yeah.
So it's important to include all of the employees, even if you're just four people, have the founder unpack the reasons why she created this business and what an on-brand experience looks like and feels like from a behavioral standpoint so that the other members of her team can replicate that success. And so that they know who someone would be who fits the culture by codifying it and making it explicit rather than having it be implied or having it be conveyed in stories that happen once in a while or sporadically.
Right.
Document those stories so that you can intentionally teach them to new employees and partners and use those as a way to evaluate whether or not someone fits the culture, because your ability to consistently deliver that experience is what's going to differentiate you over the long term and create the desired perception that we talked about before.
Yeah, and I would guess that's one of the biggest challenges for most founders or business owners is they have their perception and their story and their stuff going on in their head. And I think a big challenge is probably they're assuming that other people understand what they're seeing when they don't. And so it's another way for, like you said, for that founder or that business owner to get their perception, their vision, their passion, their purpose out on paper and create a vision. Because you can't just assume that other people understand that. They, most of the time, they probably don't. So that's a great point. What about, so if somebody's listening to this right now and they're going, okay, I get it internally, you know, externally, I need a story. I don't have anything. What is the best way? Not everybody has a resource. Obviously we're giving them the resource to reach out to you and we'll give, you know, your website and how people can connect with you. But what is the best way to go about creating a brand story? How, if someone asked you that question, how would you answer that?
Getting to the why behind what people do and why they want it is a good guiding principle. So asking five whys, trying to unpack the layers of motivation behind someone's intention is mm-hmm. a good way to do that. I like to think of gift giving as an analogy. Think about the best gift you ever received.
Yeah.
And the only thing better than receiving a gift is to give a gift that's on point.
Yeah.
To do that, you've got to have an insight into what that person's about, who
yep.
they are, and what motivates them. So branding's the same type of dynamic where you're trying to get below the surface and understand the underlying need. I think StoryBrand does a good job of teaching basic concepts around making the customer the hero of the story. I think that's a good book to read. I think there's some other books that I would be happy to recommend. Zag is one of them on positioning. And I also like the 22 Immutable Laws of Branding. It's a little dated mm-hmm. now, but there are some great principles in that. I don't think there's any one book or Bible that you can subscribe to and say, okay, this is everything I need to know about branding. It's an ongoing process.
Sure, sure.
But the basic story structure of someone is trying to accomplish something. They're the hero of the story, not you or your brand. There's an obstacle in their way. How can you guide them to overcome the obstacle and achieve their desired outcome? And positioning your brand as the guide to facilitate that. For small and medium-sized businesses, that often gets people headed down the right path. The challenge that poses is, now how do we take that basic story and adapt it for different audiences? So when you get multiple products, multiple markets that you're serving, it becomes a little more complex and requires a little more sophistication to be able to take that basic story structure and adapt it to different audiences and scale it up.
Yes. And as part of that initial process too, figuring out when you're doing that story, figuring out what your initial demographic is, or does that come after?
You need to know your audience. And yeah. I prefer using psychographics as a segmentation tool. When I say psychographic, I'm talking about the attitudes, beliefs, and values that a group of people bring with them to the market as uh-huh. they look for solutions to their problems, rather than demographics, which are about their attributes, their age, their gender, their household income, their educational level. Not that those attributes aren't important, but psychographics give you another way of thinking about the market from an attitudinal perspective. So people who might be of different ages, different ethnicities, different educational levels might have a shared reason or reasons for wanting to get the job done using your brand. So if you can think about psychographics and attitudinal drivers, that will give you another way of thinking about the market that could open up opportunities that would otherwise go unnoticed.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. What about flipping it to the other side? And this, I don't know, sometimes it makes me want to chuckle, but what are maybe some things not to do? Do you see any examples out there? If you're like, oh man, like if people would just stop doing this, it would serve them better. Is there any tips? I know a lot of people learn more from what not to do as opposed to what to do. Is there any tips of what not to do?
I think that a lot of brands make the mistake of trying to be funny or trying to be clever mm-hmm. rather than being relevant.
Mm.
So I think relevance is the thing. How can we make ourselves the most helpful solution or provider or partner in a given category? What do we want to enable people to do? How can we provide the most value possible in solving for those kinds of problems, for those jobs to be done, rather than trying to be irreverent or in your face or mm-hmm. somehow attention getting. Just be helpful. That's really what matters most. And of course, the emotional satisfying component means do it in a way that's stylistically consistent with the values of the people you're trying to connect to. But a lot of brands just try too hard. And it's almost like you have to unwrap multiple external layers of packaging and messaging to get to what they're trying to say, because it's so overproduced that it's buried. And so I think it doesn't really take a lot of shtick. You just need to be relevant and then ultimately live up to your promises.
Yeah, that was the first thing with that question that I was thinking of, is just of brands or companies that try too hard. I think that's very clear. And I don't know if you would agree with this, but a lot of times it's probably just kind of, it's being genuine and being genuine about wanting to add value, right?
Exactly. And zoom out on the transaction and think about what else could I do to provide services around exactly what people need. For example, if I were over Chromebooks right now, you could give away Chromebooks, you could have scholarships, because what do kids need? What do families need? They need access to the internet because the kids are doing virtual school.
Yes.
And people are doing that. They're getting Chromebooks indirectly, but I haven't heard a major initiative from a major computer manufacturer to say, we're gifting these, or we're drastically reducing the fees because we believe in education. So there's an opportunity to be hugely relevant right now in a way that a whole generation of people would never forget that that brand had solved a problem that was really immediate and deeply felt. And you could win loyalty that would be priceless for generations to come if you were to make a move right now, because there's a clear and present need that you are uniquely qualified to fulfill.
Yeah, that's so true. And that kind of comes full circle to even where we started was, you know, becoming, I mean, think about if you thought if it was synonymous with school and computing and homeschool and everything else, if it was just Chromebook was, that's what kids thought of computers. Like anytime they were on a computer, the first thing that came out of their mouth was, I need a Chromebook right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Well, last but not least, what advice would you give to someone or a business to be more memorable right now?
I would suggest stop using the word better and start thinking in terms of being different.
Gotcha.
So the temptation is to be better than the competitor. Rather than being better, be different. As a case in point, think about In-N-Out's menu. Super simple. You can order off menu. They meet you in the queue, so you know you're going to be through the line quickly.
Yep.
Versus Sonic. Sonic makes you go through this very detailed menu and it takes a long time to get through their drive-through. I dread going to Sonic.
Yeah.
Because I know it's going to take me a half an hour. Whereas In-N-Out is like they say, In-N-Out. So that concept of being different. Now both companies are successful, and depending on what you want out of the experience, you might prefer one or the other. But the differences are very clear. So the more clear we can be in saying this is what we are and this is what we're not, it's to our advantage, because the greater the contrast, the more people readily see the difference and can appreciate the value we can create for them.
Yeah, and it's also very clear with In-N-Out that they're not trying to be something they're not. I mean, they're unique in what they do. Like you said, they're different, but they're also never trying to be something that they're not.
Right. I have a son who's really aware of social media, and he was talking about the Travis Scott burger at McDonald's and how his friends are trying it. And they're going to get it. They're going to get a bump. They're going to get a lift. Yeah. But In-N-Out just stays the course day in, day out.
Yep.
And the lines are around the block.
Yep.
So they don't have to rely on gimmicks. They've got their sweet spot figured out, and they just deliver on the promise every time. And the results speak for themselves.
Man, that's such a good point. And again, like you said, everybody's different. But for me, longevity, consistency, simplicity, all that stuff is super important so that you can stay the course. I would hope all business owners would want to have a business and be in a business that's there to stay the course, regardless what their plans are, and be consistent. So it's not up and down, up and down. I would hope everybody would want that. But well, Jed, thank you so much for your time. I mean, that was straight to the point, nothing but meat and potatoes. So I appreciate that, ton of value for those that are listening. How can people get a hold of you? You know, what are the different ways, and how do you prefer to connect?
LinkedIn's great. I love connecting on LinkedIn because you can get those alerts all the time. Or feel free to hit me at jed@backstorybranding.com.
Okay. And again, and it'll be, you know, in the title, but Jed Morley is what you're looking for on LinkedIn, correct?
Right. And it's Backstory Branding. I actually have a cousin who has the same name. He's a good guy. So sometimes it's funny. People say, are you the Jed Morley? I'm like, I am the Jed Morley.
You should change all your stuff. The official, you know, official Jed.
Yep.
No. Well, hey, man, I appreciate your time so much. I'll put all your information and details in the notes. And until we meet again.
Thanks, Ty. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jed. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for listening to the Be Memorable podcast. I hope you took a ton of value from this episode. If you don't mind, please leave us a review. That helps us get the show out there. It also allows us to add more value to others. Thanks again.